First Corinthians, chapter 2. First Corinthians. We're talking about wisdom. Seems an appropriate thing to talk about. Chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, and the implication there is man's wisdom. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now stop and consider the awesomeness of that statement. I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. If that could be the only thing you see, how simple life would become. And wisdom always has the component of simplicity. You know, I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And do you like me? I mean, do you see how petty are things? Anyway. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, the word of power there is the word that, it's the Greek word that means efficacy or ability or sure results. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power or ability or efficacy of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth, and that's a bad translation, if some of your Bibles may have it, it's he that is spiritual understandeth all things, yet he himself is understood of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now back up in verse 7.
The literal meaning of that, of 15, is so different than what it really means. I mean, it's totally opposite.
Why?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about what it says there, yet he himself is it says that he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I mean,
it's the same thing, really.
But it, okay.
Understanding and judging.
Understanding and judging are the same thing.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you didn't know that understanding and judging, the literal meaning of it, like what it says,
okay,
is so different.
Well, a spiritual man understands all things, but is understood of no one, or by no one. Now, what's the next thing we can see about wisdom? Verse 7 says, wisdom is a mystery. That it was ordained before the world unto our glory, that none of the princes, the word princes is a bad word there, it just means leaders. None of the leaders, it could be your Boy Scout master, I mean that's the kind of word it means. Somebody that you've paid attention to. No man can understand what's given to you freely. No man understands it. It's a mystery. It's spiritually discerned. Eye has not seen it, ear has not heard it. It has not entered into the heart of man. And what are we doing? Mystery, wisdom.
Does that have the connotation that he's speaking into existence? That by his speaking it's called forward? It's that thing of speaking things into existence?
I don't know what you just said. You mean God or
no,
the...
Paul or anyone who preaches is speaking
into
existence.
We speak into existence,
the wisdom that's wrapped in a mystery.
Yeah.
In you.
And somehow wisdom is connected with the mind of Christ. Last verse here says, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. Now why does it say that? Who in the hell would you have the guts to say, to try to be God's counselor? God, who would try to be God's attorney? Moi? God hates attorneys, by the way.
Anybody, I mean, this thing about the spiritual man who understands all things but is not judged or understood by anybody else, anybody trying to tell the spiritual man this, and this is trying to be God's counsel.
But that's, you know, I want to see the practical aspects of it within you. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. What in the hell is the mind of Christ? What is the mystery? What is the wisdom that's been hidden from the foundation of the world? Let's go to Philippians. General Electric Power Company. It's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, then General Electric Power. Power is Philippians. Thanks to Jackie, we have that.
That was your last week.
That's her.
Then there's the ED acronym.
Yeah, when you write this through the group, you can put that in it.
Yeah.
What is the ED acronym?
Get extra P-word.
I thought you
meant that's her. P-word. I only said P-word.
You repeated it. What's the P-word?
Oh, I can't say it. I'd get hit with a stick if I said
what?
Just drop it. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2.
These girls over here at teacher.
I thought they were
letting us.
I'm sorry.
We just figured out the keyword.
No, I don't know. She hasn't told me yet.
Oh, there's two keywords.
Oh,
that's one of them.
That
keyword.
What?
Terry, let it drop.
Why do I suddenly feel like I'm with my third grade teacher?
I don't know.
She sewed a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Harold, you want to let that in?
She had big glasses. Harold. Harry.
Who
look like your hair on your head.
If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. I knew in the mood that this group is in. What?
This is like Song of Solomon.
No, everybody waits. Ollie looks up and gets a smirk on his face and we go,
Try to do the Bible if you can.
Have mercy on my bowels.
Have mercy.
It means compassion, deeply felt compassion and affection.
They felt emotion in their gut. Little jackpot targum there.
Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There is never a stimulus that can confront you in which your first response won't be protection of self, or that's what you think your first response is. If I take the stick and go like that, Harry flinches because his instinct is to protect himself. But it's not his instinct. That instinct to protect himself is a half second after the first instinct. The first instinct in all men is the mind of Christ. The second instinct is the self-protection, self-seeking, self-interest. You have spent a lifetime being conditioned to pay attention only to the second, third, fourth, and fifth impulses. But you, by definition, you have the mind of Christ. Not by me talking to you, not by the Bible saying it's true, you have the mind of Christ genetically. And every one of your responses that tend towards self-protection are a result of that which is Satan's half second. It came a half second later. It became the lie. The lie is what you repent from to reach the mind of Christ. Any time, in any situation, whatever stimulus can confront you from any source, if your response is the protection or seeking to save yourself or better yourself in some way, it's the lie. The mind of Christ, that which is yours by inheritance and nature and possession and rightful ownership, is the mind that is always in a state of kenosis, or emptying. It never, ever, ever once seeks for itself. Not once. Religion tries to get you to learn the mind of Christ in certain situations. You understand? God calls for the mind of Christ in 24 hours a day, so that our walk is conscious repentance. Any time there's an effect to put your eyes on yourself, anything that puts your eyes on yourself or causes you to think about self, no matter how sincere it is, is the opposite of the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ, the gospel, the truth, the mystery, doesn't need your help. That's what it says. Who has been the counselor of God? Satan has tried to be the counselor of God since the fall. That's why you can't figure out the gospel. You can only repent from your mind. Am I communicating? I am so sick. I am sick unto death of the questions from this group about what do I do about this? I don't want you to be God's counselor, and I surely don't want to be God's counselor. The gospel has a will and a power and a mind and an efficacy and ability all its own. It doesn't need my help. It doesn't need your help. It's the result of the abandonment of self. Anything other than abandonment is lost anyway. If you seek to save anything about you in any dimension, you will lose everything. If you lose your life, i.e. the right to yourself, this instant and every instant, then you shall be an inheritor of all things. That, what I just told you in a nutshell, is the wisdom of God. In every situation, in every arena, in every place, in every time. If you seek to save your life, if you seek to save your life in any dimension, in any arena, in any part, you will lose it. You will lose it all. Now, the only reason that time isn't at an end tonight is because God is long-suffering, not willing that any of you should perish, and he is giving you a chance. And you must see it this way. The only reason time exists tonight is because of your rebellion. Your attempts to be God's attorney. And you didn't even go to law school. Or if you did, you quit. Do you understand this? This is so fundamental to the gospel. If you seek to save, better save yourself in any dimension, you're lost. Your first impulse, I promise you, by faith, is the mind of Christ that never seeks, never thinks it's something to be grasped, to be better than you are, to reach towards God. You empty yourself. That's the opposite. That's why the wisdom of God and the cross and the preaching of it is foolishness. I promise you, if the Spirit of God, if there's a spirit that people are naming the Spirit of God, and that spirit or teacher is teaching you how to get something, it's not the Spirit of God, it's the spirit of the God of this age. The Spirit of Antichrist. He's coming in Jesus' name, he's here in Jesus' name, and his power comes from what he can give you. What he can do for you. How he can better you. You think I'm kidding when I make fun of all of the aspects of self-betterment. But you are guilty of it. You did it today. How can I better myself? You can't. Any attempt to try to better yourself is part of the one lie, because the only reason you are trying to better yourself is because you believe that you are separate from the source of life, and that is the lie that the whole world is lying under. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's the teaching of the Holy Spirit of God. You need nothing. Self-betterment, so innocent. Self-improvement, so right on. Self-realization, So true, so right. All of it's the lie from the depth of hell. It is the sin that crucified Christ. That's why the scriptures say when the Holy Spirit is come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do this, this, or this? No. Of sin because they believe not on the Christ. Not because of what they do or don't do. Your definitions of sin are so stupid anyway. Give it up tonight. Empty yourself. The whole world lies at your feet. God is waiting for a people to do that. And at that giving up, emptying of self, every desire of your heart is met. Our God, the whole world is based on that promise. If that promise is not true, God is a liar and the world will end tonight. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Now hang your life on it. Stop seeking your own in any dimension. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. That's the teaching of the Holy Spirit. That's the gospel. That's the revelation of the Bible. That's what every mystery in the universe says. One message. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let is the operative word. You let by repenting. Am I communicating? Don't be deceived. You will be deceived in 5 minutes by some sincere need. Some sincere person will come and cause you to put your eyes in yourself, or your mind will put your eyes in yourself for some sincere reason. It's a lie. From the depth of hell, it's as though the ugliest monster you can imagine in a horror movie had personally visited you and led you astray. But it sounds so good. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God himself, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but he emptied himself. Kenosis, emptying, and made himself of no reputation. That's wisdom. Is there anybody that doesn't understand it? Can everybody say amen? Amen? Now your own word, your own mouth will be a witness against you. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for us. So far greater than anything you can dream about or imagine, that it'll make anything you think you desire seem like jacks to an adult or some other little tinker toy. Yeah, like pottage. Remember Esau? He sold his birthright for one mess of porridge. Don't you do the same thing. Your highest desire, your highest ambition is but a mess of porridge. Don't sell your birthright for it. The gospel is simple. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, let nothing confuse your minds from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Your minds want to hear another gospel, I promise you. Your minds do not like this gospel. Because this gospel demands something that your mind is incapable of. Waiting. Waiting. Patience. Waiting.
patience. The long-suffering patience, which is the fruit of this Holy Spirit that we're talking about. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, on a wisdom that was ordained from before the foundation of the world. We care nothing about the stupidity called wisdom by the world. We understand all things, yet we're understood by no one. Let's take a break.
So that last thing, that First Corinthians, really is the battle of the Father here.
Well, Ollie doesn't feel like talking anymore, so
take it,
you can have coffee, you can go home, you can return to your homes, you can stay here and party, you can do whatever you want.
Take it,